Well, in just 2 weeks, One Fund Boston, the charity set up to aid the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings, has collected more than $26 million. Ken Feinberg's job will be to give that money out. Ken is a Massachusetts native. You probably know he also administered the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, then subsequent funds for the victims of the Virginia Tech shooting, the BP oil spill, the Penn State scandal, the Colorado movie theater shootings, actually too many to name. We want to spend a few minutes today with Ken, who's with the law firm Feinberg Rosen, but does this work pro bono, with the exception of the BP and Penn State funds. And Ken, I almost hate to say welcome back, because when I say welcome to you, it means something horrible has happened.
That's right. Every time I'm asked to do one of these, I say to myself, God willing, it is the last one that I will do. I don't welcome this obligation. I don't look forward to it. But life has a way of throwing curveballs at people, and this is the result sometimes.
Yeah. Well, just as you look at this fund and this particular disaster, what's your overarching thought?
My overarching thought is twofold. One, I am amazed at the charitable impulse of the American people. Here is a tragedy that, with some real assistance, of course, from Mayor Menino and Governor Patrick, has already resulted in raising private money of over $26 million. Don't forget, the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund was entirely public taxpayer money. This is private money. So one overarching result of all this so far has been this outpouring of generosity, Americans coming together as one for these victims. The other overarching reaction to all of this, I'm absolutely sure, will be the terrible emotional toll that will accompany the processing of this program, the processing of these claims, and the payment of the compensation.
Yeah, because you have to meet with people. You're going to have some town meetings coming up. We'll let people know about that. But we'll talk about that emotional toll in just a moment. But how are you thinking of going ahead? We know, for instance, after the theater shooting in Aurora, victims who were paralyzed or had traumatic brain injuries got just as much money as families of victims who died. There were also people at the time who wished there had been money to cover people who weren't physically injured but had severe emotional trauma just by being there. So, you know, you have these templates that you've been through. How are you thinking of approaching the Boston Fund?
In a similar way. I mean, if you said to me today, what are the presumptions in your mind before we have these meetings next week with the public and the families and anybody else who wants to attend, I would say that most of the funds that have been raised should go to the families of the dead, the four, who died.
You're including the MIT police officer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And a similar amount should probably go to those horribly maimed and physically injured by the bombings, double amputees, paralysis, brain injuries. Mm-hmm. Those people, I would think, would be treated in terms of compensation the same as the families of the victims.
And let me just ask you a question. I mean, these are incredible stories. A mother and daughter, the mother lost both legs, the daughter severely injured, newlyweds, young newlyweds, each lost a leg, two brothers each lost a leg, their best friend lost two legs, the dancer who lost a foot, the young girl whose brother was killed, she lost a leg. Just horrible stories. If some of these families have, as they do, their own personal funds that they're doing with crowdsourcing, does that factor into your thinking about how much they get from the Boston Fund?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. No amount of money is going to make any of these individuals fully satisfied or fully compensated. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And I have neither the time nor the staff nor the desire to start trying to select based on economic need or financial wherewithal who gets what. This is a program, all lives are equal. Should be valued the same. The most serious, everybody would agree, a double amputee, horribly, horribly injured, confronting a very uncertain future, total change in life-altering injuries. So I think that any extraneous source of money from other funds, from your own private insurance, from family and friends, irrelevant. I think that this money should be added up, calculated and distributed, as I've said publicly, by the end of June.
Well, and that let's stress that, because if people want to contribute, they should hurry up and do it, because you don't want to wait.
Well, we won't wait. Now, what I think we will do is what we did in Virginia Tech. I think we'll make an initial distribution the end of June for the bulk of the money. If additional funds flow into the One Fund Boston during the summer months, then perhaps, if the funds are sufficient, we'll make a second distribution on the same terms.
Oh, so you're not going to close
around Labor Day.
Yeah, so
around
you're not
Labor
gonna,
Day, but
yeah, so you're not going to close it down.
Well, I think after Labor Day, it's done.
Yeah.
The money, the compensation program will be closed. That will be the end of it. So we'll make an initial distribution by the end of June. We'll keep the fund open for additional contributions over the summer months. And Labor Day, if there is enough additional money, we will make a second distribution. And that is it. That is it for One Fund Boston compensation. Now, whether the One Fund Boston will remain open for non-compensation purposes, programs, projects, coordination with the Boston Foundation, the United Way, and others, that'll be up to Mayor Menino and the governor, but the compensation program will end.
Yeah. Tell us more about how you will do your calculations. You said very much that it's sort of a clear-eyed look at the amount of money that you have and dividing it up without taking other things into consideration. But I want to make sure I heard that correctly. So, for instance, if someone, we've had two double amputees that I can think of, if they're going to need a complete rebuilding of their home, if things that aren't covered by insurance, you're not thinking about that as much as you're thinking, here's a lump sum of money?
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not enough money. I mean, I don't care if you have $26, $28, $30 million. It's a limited pot considering the number of deaths and physical injuries.
Yeah.
So once we decide how much money at the end of June is to be distributed, then we have to decide what percentage of that total should go to deaths and life-altering injuries, like the double amputees. How much is remaining, and that should go to those who are hospitalized. And that money will likely be distributed on the basis of a formula. How long were you in the hospital? This is exactly what we did in Aurora and in Virginia Tech. And I think, again, subject to change after next week's town hall meetings, mm-hmm. in Boston. I think that is likely what we should do again this time.
So again, you're talking about compensation for the families of the four people killed and then compensation for the terribly injured. But what about people who suffered hearing loss or were traumatized? We'll ask Ken Feinberg, administrator of the One Fund Boston, after the break. And again, we'll link you to One Fund at hereandnow.org. There are some great stories attached to it. Here's just one. The owner of Bagel Land in Winchester, Massachusetts, is donating all of his profits to the fund until the last victim is out of the hospital. The owner is Egyptian Muslim. He says, these bombers will not hijack my religion. Well, more on where his money might go in 1 minute with Ken, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about compensation for Boston bombing victims. We're talking with Ken Feinberg. He's, of course, very familiar with this difficult task. He administered the fund for the victims and survivors of 9/11, the Virginia Tech massacre, the Aurora movie theater shootings, the BP oil spill, the Jerry Sandusky abuse victims at Penn State. He's now in charge of allocating money from One Fund Boston, the charity set up to help the victims of the Boston Marathon bombings and the families of those killed. But Ken, what about other compensation, say for businesses on Boylston Street where the bombs exploded? Now, they were either damaged or closed because of the investigation. Some did not have insurance coverage for terrorist acts. Many are now checking their policies to make sure they do in the future. But any compensation for businesses from the fund? I'm guessing probably not.
Hard to see how. Compensation for property loss or business interruption, to me, probably falls below physical injury outpatient treatment. I'm not even sure. I say I doubt that there's enough money to even compensate outpatient physical injury. I think this money will be reserved for death claims and physical injury claims resulting in hospitalization, which is a pretty good indicator of seriousness of injury.
Okay, pick up with people who may not have been hospitalized for a lengthy period of time. A lot of people had hearing losses for, you know, a couple weeks. A lot of people were traumatized from being standing next to somebody who was blown to bits, running them to the medical tent, pinching an artery closed to keep them alive. What about the psychological and the lesser physical injuries?
All horrible injuries. Whether or not there's enough money, you can't spread this money too thin among claimants. You start spreading it too thin, and, for example, you give the example of the double amputee. Well, if you spread this money too thin by also compensating temporary hearing loss, no hospitalization, treatment in a tent with a bandage, and then you go home, if you start spreading the money that thin to so many more people, that's less that's available for the families who lost a loved one or those most seriously injured. And you've got to be careful about doing that. Now, I do agree, if money were no object, every one of those people can make a case for compensation. This is sort of a Solomonic decision, though, how you allocate limited private resources to maximize effectiveness, and that's the challenge.
Yeah. Well, and this is where you might hear from disappointed people, and you've been there before. We've talked to you before, and you've written a book about overseeing the BP oil spill funds, and in that case, you were paid by BP to help them out. Your 2012 book was called Who Gets What? You said you became a human pinata. When you spoke with us, you said you understood that in some cases, for instance, after Penn State, you understand when people get disappointed because you're trying to put a financial price on something that to them is priceless.
That's right. I mean, anybody who does this that expects thank you or gratitude or praise or appreciation, forget it. That's not what this is about. When you take on these assignments and you're dealing with very emotional people who have a right to be emotional, innocent victims of a traumatic horror, brace yourself for the type of criticism you're going to receive. You say, might be disappointed.
Hmm.
Might? I guarantee you, disappointment's also the wrong word. You will see and hear a fair amount of anger, frustration, uncertainty, emotional diatribes leveled at everybody, and it goes with the territory. You better expect it. I'll try and listen to everybody, hear them out, express a collective empathy as to what these folks are going through, but I find it difficult to get angry or to get to be critical of any of these people.
So, Ken Feinberg, as we said at the outset, you keep wishing you wouldn't get asked to do these kinds of things. You keep wishing there wouldn't be the need for these kinds of funds. Increasingly, there has been. That's also the good news because, as you say, people are being so charitable. How do you deal with it at the end of the day? You hear all these unbelievable stories from Virginia Tech to Aurora, now to Boston. You also advised the Newtown Connecticut Compensation Committee. This is something many of us are trying to get away from right now. You're plunging into it. How do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, you never deal with it very effectively, I must say. I mean, I'm a professional. But unless you have a heart of stone, you're going to be impacted by this. It takes a toll. You can't help but be impacted. When you meet with these families, you can only meet with one or two at a time and then take a break, walk around the block, go through the Boston Common, you know, buy an ice cream cone. This is very, very stressful, very stressful. And but you feel an obligation professionally and as a citizen to do it and to do it right. So
I hear Mozart helps.
Oh, at night, Mozart, Wagner, Verdi, opera, Beethoven. I say often that when you witness these horrible tragedies, you are thunderstruck at how irrational and barbaric people can you turn on Mozart and Beethoven, and it's the height of civilization. So don't ask me to explain it.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to explain it.
Ken Feinberg, administrator of the One Fund Boston. Ken, thanks so much.
Thanks, and don't forget the public hearings next Monday evening and Tuesday morning, I think, at the Boston Public Library. Open to the public, open to the families, open to anybody who wants to come and express a viewpoint.
Thanks, Ken. And again, we will link you to One Fund and the information about the hearings at hereandnow.org, where your thoughts, as always, are welcome as well. A quick note, tomorrow on Here and Now, where are we on fracking? We'll take that up, and we have the latest news next, Here and Now.